Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony for our worship this morning. I'm grateful for your presence here and decision to be here today. Especially if you're visiting for the first time or a recent comer, love the privilege of meeting you after the service. There's also a welcome table on the other side of the bridge you came in on, and one of our team members would be happy to answer any questions you may have about the church. Just a couple announcements for us this morning. All of this is in the bulletin. But next Sunday following the service, you're invited to meet our youth and children's teachers. They are gathering at this very moment with our youth and children, and they do that every Sunday. And we want to just celebrate them and give everyone the opportunity to meet them and understand a little bit more about our Godly Play program and youth program. Also, next Sunday is the opportunity to bring Caritas donations, and there's a collection table near the kitchen for non-perishable items. And if you're interested in learning more about the church or have been on the new member process taking the various classes, one of the required classes for new membership begins this Wednesday at 7:30. And you just need to call the church office to register for that. That would be helpful. And it's a four-week class, learning about the history of the church and what we believe. So if you're interested in learning more, that's a great place to do it. And joining isn't an obligation if you take the class. That's all the announcements I have this morning. But again, thank you for your presence here. We'll be talking about miracles today. And I think it's a very important topic and a fun topic to talk about. So let's now ask the Holy Spirit to be the miracle for each of us this morning. And through this community, as we gather in silence and listen to scripture and sing and partake in sacrament, that we would bless the world and that the energy of love would be the miracle flowing from us today outward. Amen.
Please join us in singing Holy Spirit Come. And my voice sounds like this today, so please, I need your help.
Come, oh.
Please stand and join us in singing "The Gospel in One Word is Love."
Love, 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 love. The gospel in one word is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love, love, love. Love, 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 love. The gospel in one word is love. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Gracious and loving Creator God of the heavens and the earth, who loves us as a father and mother, who by the power of your energy and spirit infuses this room and each of our hearts with the quality that we can only describe as love, we ask that this reality would become more manifest in each of our lives, in our thoughts, feelings, sensations, expressions, attitudes, beliefs, relationships, endeavors, and vocations. That we would play our part in the evolution of love and consciousness on this planet into Christ. We praise you and thank you for the gift of life happening for each of us in this moment, for the miracle of our breath and heartbeat, and for the mystery of our existence. We come from you and we return to you, and in between we learn how to love you, ourselves, and one another. We ask for your blessing upon this service in your most holy threefold name. Our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
Please join with me in listening for God's Word. Our reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement as to what had happened to him. When he clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's Portico, utterly astonished. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people. "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk?" May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
I'm really not qualified to talk much about miracles. Miracles that we just heard from the Apostle Peter and John remind us of the power that made Christianity so successful, quote-unquote, in its early years. It was so compelling to people because of the love that this small group of people had for one another, the sacrificial love, but also the quality of energetic healing that was attending through them. And Peter's humility there as he basically says, this isn't my power. I'm not healing them. God's healing them through me. It's a beautiful story. It's the first miracle story in the book of Acts, which is a bunch of miracle stories, basically verifying and confirming that the authority and the power and the being that was coming through Christ was continuing through this small group of people that started to expand, who had been under the lineage or influenced by this presence, this being we call Christ. And this is the first piece of wisdom to really hold on to, and that is that each of us are stewards and custodians, and we pass on the power that has been given to us by God. And each of us manifests that power in different ways. But it's coming from somewhere, through us, to somewhere. Now, we all know that energy can be blocked in different centers of the body. The chakra system is a way of talking about it. The temple gates is another way of talking about it. In this miracle story, we are told that it occurred at the beautiful gate, which is a profound invitation to recognize that all miracles happen in an environment of prayer and beauty, the temple. This scene occurs at the temple. So beauty and prayer become the atmosphere in which miracles oftentimes occur. Now, a couple of things about this passage to draw our attention to as far as understanding the nature of miracles and recognizing that they're much more common and ordinary than what we would think. Now, this clearly is an extraordinary story of someone's DNA and physicality literally being transformed, something that we see occurring today through the ministry and teaching of Joe Dispenza and many, many others, that the recognition that DNA, genes, body, disease can be healed, changed in significant ways. And we're not going to get into the how of that, but I just want to declare that this is true. This is happening on this planet. People are being healed significantly. One of the first things we need to be healed from is the belief that we can't be healed. And this lame man, it says, has been lame from birth. Now, that's the easiest story to believe. I can't get any better because I've always been this way. I will never be healed because this is just what my family line is. I will never be free from this because it's in my genes. Well, this man basically thought that his life was consigned to begging at this temple gate. In fact, he had friends that brought him there, and he was basically looking for money to survive. And this gets to the second thing, why miracles sometimes are slow in coming to us, because we're asking for the wrong things. Now, he's asking for money, which is normal because you think money gets you food, money gets you rent, money gets you whatever you need in life. But he's asking for money. It turns out there's something else he could be asking for. The horizontal level is one level. There's nothing wrong with the horizontal level of physical needs. But there's a whole other vertical level always available, and we can ask for it right now. And he's reminded of this gift to ask for something deeper than just money, for the momentary needs being met, when he remembers by way of the presence of someone else who is remembering. And this is the gift of miracles that we play to one another, that when I'm asleep or I've forgotten God or forgotten myself, someone else oftentimes comes into my life, and by their very countenance or face or the quality of their energetic presence, they may not even know it, but they're ministering to me, awakening me, helping me remember the truth that, wait a minute, there's something more for my life than just this humdrum horizontal. There's a vertical connection. And this is how it goes. Peter intently looks at him. He gazes at him. And this is more than just looking. This is seeing and knowing the other being. This is that amazing gift of intimacy, of knowing what is true for another. And the interesting thing here is, even though Peter, who represents the higher level of being and energy, because he'd been exposed or radiated by the presence of Christ over a three-year period, who he himself had been broken open through his own failures of the Lord, I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know him, then he's restored, and Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? So Peter's been through a lot. He's a broken open man, and because of that, his heart opening allows energy to flow to other people, to bless other people. It's very hard to bless other people when we're licking our wounds. We need to be wounded healers, not just wounded saboteurs. So he intently looks at the man, the lame man, and then this is what Peter asks of the lame man, and this is an invitation to all of us. This is what Spirit's asking of us. Look at me. He says, look at me. And the word is different for that Peter uses, asking this man what to do, and from the word that Peter is seeing. It's a different word. Peter isn't asking him to see intimately or intently. What he's simply saying is, hey, just look at me. All you have to do is perceive me. He's not asking a whole lot. He's just asking, look at me. I want your attention. And that's ultimately the baseline for all miracles, is give me your attention. God is saying, give me your attention. Quantum field is saying, give me your attention. Spirit is saying, give me your attention. Place your attention away from your sickness, your disease, all your analysis and paralysis, and all the things that are occurring. Take that attention just for a moment and place it somewhere else. Place it on me. It's a beautiful invitation to change the direction we're looking for happiness, in Keating's terms. And then this miracle happens through two mediums. Number one, Peter reaches out and touches the guy's hand. So there's physical contact. This is the baseline for Christian miracle tradition of healing. You touch each other. You lay hands on there. You place your hand upon someone's body where they might be experiencing pain or suffering. Put it on the wound. Put it on the disease. Put your hand on someone who needs healing, who asks for healing. Consensual hand. And through that touch, an energy is conveyed and channeled. But it's not just Peter's physical energy. He's the vessel of the energy, as we all are, if we're free-flowing and not bound up in our fear or anxiety or our own diseases or addictions or lusts or greeds. All sorts of appetites can be running on the system, constricting the free flow of our energy. And I know this from firsthand, that this truth is humbling, because we don't always realize how constricted or blocked we are until someone else touches us and heals us and sets us free. So we need each other as containers of this beautiful energy we call the Spirit. But that's not the only medium of the healing. Notice that it comes through Peter's physical touch, and in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up. So he's under the lineage of this higher authority, this higher energy. And that's the real safety for all of us as we all are healers. And you can call on all sorts of power to heal. There are dark powers to call upon to heal. There are very dynamic, light-filled powers to call upon to heal. I'm not sure about them all. I'm not sure about all the spectrum of energies out there. I don't really want to know about the full spectrum of psychic energies or spiritual energies. I like staying pretty down to the earth, to humble, to the Eucharist, to the silence. It keeps me grounded. But there are all sorts of powers and energies to tap into that bring healing. In our lineage, we tap into the name of Jesus Christ. And this name has great power because it is the fullness of love. It's the full manifestation of the divine energy united with the human nature. It landed on planet Earth. It's no longer here, but it continues through the Eucharist and through one another in community. As we are temples of the Spirit and co-heirs with Christ, manifesting more of this energy through our surrender to God and becoming love. Now, then finally, this frequency of energy that comes through the touch in the name of Christ, which is kind of a humble way of saying, I am thy servant, flow through me, Lord. Then all of a sudden the miracle happens, and we see that first the feet, it says the feet, and then the ankles, and then he stands up. This is a beautiful reminder to all of us that sometimes miracles occur by way of stages. And we don't get the full Monte shebang right now, even though we'd want to. But perhaps healing and the miracles occur over periods of time, like days, weeks, months, years, decades, lifetimes. And for many of us, the miracle of life ultimately will be our dying, the greatest miracle we're waiting for. The transformation of this into the body of Christ. Now, this stage is, of healing is really interesting because it ends in him jumping up and down and praising God, as if to announce and declare with an exclamation mark, I am completely healed, not just my feet, not just my ankles, not just my legs, but I am whole. I've been saved. The Greek word for save is healed. I've been made whole. And it changed his life forever to the extent that he started to praise God. And that ultimately, like Peter's humility, it's not my power, it's God. This is the invitation for us to learn when we've been touched by God's healing grace and power to praise, to turn our gratitude upward to praise. And that helps play out the energy and spread the energy that we've received to others. And it completes the circle, so to speak. Because when we receive the grace and of the miracles of being unexpected gifts, like healing, we need to do something with that energy. And we can turn it inward or selfward, self-focus, go celebrate with a bottle of champagne, or praise God. There's nothing wrong with either one, but the invitation is to see how praising is a natural consequence of being healed. If there's not much praise going on in our lives, it might be because we've been so bored, dull, that we don't believe that miracles can occur, and that we have accepted the common and the ordinary instead of believing in the possibility of the extraordinary. Now, this is day-to-day in the trenches stuff that we get to work it out. But those are some wisdom ideas from this passage of Scripture. I want to open the floor up for sharing in a little bit. Because there are people who have experienced miracles. And as we share the miracles in a moment, please heed the wisdom. The miracle is not meant to call attention to your specialness or you, even though it may have occurred in you. So as you share the miracle, reflect that praise upward. And that might be useful for all of us. The first thing to say about miracles is that perhaps we should just start with increasing our level of awe and wonder as a species, particularly as Western culture Western civilization people, middle class, affluent Americans, one of the things that we could do for our own soul health would be to increase our capacity for wonder and being in awe. Now, it seems to me that our education system, not blaming anyone, but it seems to me that my experience of my education growing up collapsed my sense of wonder and awe. It just shut it down. And that's why I love the Waldorf tradition. My nephews get to go to Waldorf school, because I remember sitting in third and grade and fourth grade and fifth grade, sitting in the classroom looking out at the trees in autumn and saying, I want to be out there. I want to look up at the sky and the clouds. Well, pretty soon life has a way of smothering out our sense of awe and wonder. And instead of seeing the miracles all around us, we see the black and white world of humdrum stuff. And we miss just the simple graces of being alive. And that's why so many of us are blessed when we go on vacation to beautiful places, because our soul remembers, oh yes, this is what it feels like to be in awe of something grander than me, something more beautiful than me. I remember going to the Grand Canyon for the first time on the south side, the south rim, and it was springtime, it was early April. And as we came around the bend, and the whole place opened up in expansive view, I literally fell to my knees. I buckled. I was so undone by what I saw. And that, to me, was a reminder that, oh, I'm in a receptive place to awe and wonder. And that might be something that Spirit is calling you to work on, being more receptive to awe and wonder and express that. And maybe hang out with some kids or children. You know, reconnect with that childlike energy and that childlike faith. Do something new. Break the routine of your day. Go to a beautiful place in nature. There are plenty around here. And get out of the ordinary rut of life. Busy work life, family life, commuting life. Man, those things smother out our awe and wonder. It's really hard to be in awe and wonder on Mopac at 5 p.m. I'm in hate and disgust. At that point, it's like, wow, what have we done to this planet? Why do we live this way? So that's the first invitation. Now, the second invitation is to cultivate faith, because faith is very much related to miracles. Faith also helps us to stay in contact with that awe and wonder. And here are two little paragraphs from Emily Cady's book, Lessons in Truth. And this will bridge between faith and miracles. The mental and spiritual world or realms are governed by laws that are just as real and unfailing as the laws that govern the natural world. Certain conditions of mind are so connected with certain results that the two are inseparable. If we have one, we must have the other, as surely as the night follows the day. Not because we believe some wise person's testimony that such is the case, not even because the voice of intuition tells us that it is so, but because the whole matter is based on laws that can neither fail nor be broken. When we know something of these laws, we can know positively beforehand just what results will follow certain mental states. What we hold in mind happens in kind is a simple way to remember that. She continues, let us, on page 77, let us square this by the definition of faith given earlier in the lesson. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith takes hold of the substance of the thing hoped for and brings into evidence or visibility the things not seen. What are usually called the promises of God are certain, eternal, unchangeable truths that are true whether they are found in the Bible or in the almanac. They are unvarying statements of truth, capital T, that cannot be altered. A promise, according to Webster's, is a something sent beforehand to indicate that something unseen is at hand. It is a declaration that gives the person to whom it is made the right to expect and claim the performance of the act. Christ recognized the unchangeable truth that in the unseen realm, the supply of every want and need awaits request. The supply of every want and need awaits request. When Christ said, "Ask and you will receive," Christ was simply stating an unalterable truth, a law. Christ knew that the instant we ask or desire, for asking is desire expressed verbally, we touch a secret spring which starts on its way toward us the good we want. Starts on its way the good we want. It might take a while. It might take a long time of requesting. Christ knew that there need not be any coaxing or pleading about it, that our asking is simply our complying with an unfailing law that is bound to work. There is no escape from it. Asking and receiving are the two ends of the same thing. We cannot have one without the other. Now, that's good wisdom and good teaching, metaphysical teaching about the importance of faith in the role of miracles and what we're asking for. Now, we have to be cautious because we do live in a universe of laws, and we all are under very similar laws, and so some things are not possible. This is a famous story from the life of Mr. Gurdjieff, as recorded by Uspensky in his book In Search of the Miraculous. I read this years ago, and I've never forgotten it, and I've used it in many, many instances in talking to people about why things are the way they are. And listen to this story. It's from page 95 on In Search of the Miraculous. The story is about an overage student of seminary, a seminarian, who at a final examination before becoming a minister does not understand the idea of God's all power, omnipotence. The bishop examining the seminarian said, "Give me an example of something that God Almighty cannot do." And the seminarian responded, "It won't take long to do that, Your Holiness. Everyone knows that even the Lord God Himself cannot beat a full house with a two pair." Nothing could be more clear. There was more sense in this silly story than in 1,000 theological treaties. The laws of a game make the essence of the game. The laws of the game make the essence of the game. So we are under certain laws that seem to be unbreakable in a Newtonian world. In a quantum world, though, this little story makes zero sense. And that's the difference. Gurdjieff said this, "A miracle is the manifestation on this world of laws of another world." And I like that. The quantum laws are almost limitless, and they remind us that anything's possible, that mind is related to matter and energy is related to matter, and that we can tap into these laws that are mysterious in the quantum level by way of sitting in the silence, by way of meditating in certain ways, and that the laws that we have normally thought ourselves under, as this story illustrates, that's the way it is. God's only so powerful, not all powerful. Maybe there's more to the story that modern science is helping us see as a way of restoring our sense of awe and wonder and faith. Perhaps. And lastly, there is no finer example of a description of miracles than this most helpful and blessed book, A Course in Miracles, and teaching that has been such a blessing to so many of us, I know, and very foundational in many people's spiritual journeys of awakening out from just the kind of doctrinal, dogmatic religion. And this is from chapter 1, page 3 of A Course in Miracles. And there's actually about 5 pages of definition of what a miracle is. I'm not going to read all of them. But if you want to be encouraged, just read these 5 pages. And I will read the first page. And I'll make some comments. And then we'll open up for sharing your own experiences of miracles. There is no order of difficulty in miracles. One miracle is not harder or bigger than another. They are all the same. all expressions of love are maximal. Such a beautiful reminder. God can do anything. Doesn't matter how big or small. Second, miracles as such do not matter. The only thing that matters is their source. And that scripture passage reminded us of that too. Third, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. The real miracle is the love that inspires them. In this sense, everything that comes from love is a miracle. All miracles mean life, and God is the giver of life. Fifth, miracles are habits and should be involuntary. They should not be under conscious control. Consciously selected miracles can be misguided. Miracles, number six, are natural. When they do not occur, something is going wrong. Miracles, number seven, are everyone's birthright, but purification is necessary first. That's interesting. Eight, miracles are healing because they supply a lack. They are performed by those who temporarily, read Peter and John, have more for those, read the lame man, who temporarily have less. There. Number nine, miracles are a kind of exchange. It doesn't say energy exchange, but that healing story we read reminds us it is energy that's being exchanged. Like all expressions of love, which are always miraculous in the true sense, the exchange of love reverses the physical laws. They bring more love to the giver and the receiver. Number 11, prayer is the medium of miracles. And that story again reminded us that the hour of prayer, this happened. Prayer is a means of communication of the created with the Creator. And we can expand prayer to mean meditation, centering prayer, sitting in the silence, consenting to the presence and action of God. Those are expressions of prayer. Through prayer, love is received, and through miracles, love is expressed. Lastly, miracles are thoughts. Thoughts can represent the lower or bodily level of experience or the higher or spiritual level of experience. One makes the physical and the other creates the spiritual. And beautiful wisdom teaching from the Course in Miracles. You can be around someone and it's as if a miracle has happened. Holy people, people who are connected in, people who are present, probably have been a source of miracles for you. It doesn't have to be extraordinary, so that CNN would come and say, interview me. But the simple things like the miracle of someone giving you just the right word or phrase or encouragement that speaks to your soul and changes your life. I had a roommate in college who must have discerned and intuited that I was really struggling and was about to leave college in October or November and just check out. I had a belief that I shouldn't be in college, that my mind was not capable of doing what I was being asked of, and that I should be more like my dad, who was a janitor, and that that would be more suited for me. And I was about to leave school, and in my mailbox at school, at the college, there was a letter that morning from my roommate. And in that he said, "You're nothing like your father. You have a great destiny. You can do anything with Christ who strengthens you." And that little letter kept me in school. That evening I was walking in Chicago through a park and paying no attention to anything around me, and stopped at a red light, and lo and behold, there standing beside me was one of my heroes, one of my mentors, one of these man's man leaders. His name was Joe Stoll, and he was the president of my college. And I looked up at him, and I said, "Dr. Stoll." And this was the day I wanted to leave. And he walked and talked with me all the way to his condo, about 15 minutes. The letter and the walk, miracles. I'm here today because I didn't leave that school. Many other stories like this in the room. Let's hear what's happening out there. Hello? Anyone there? Yes. Help me with your name again. Julie, yes.
I think it was last spring that we had a lot of hard rain. And
just put it up right at your chin.
Is that better?
Perfect.
Okay. I was just saying, last spring we had days and days of hard rain. And part of what I do for a job, I go see patients in their homes. And so I do a lot of driving. And I was on my way to one patient's home, and it was just blinding rain. And I ended up going down like a road that was under construction and couldn't even see in front of me, and got up to almost the top of my tires with mud and stuck. And anyway, ended up walking out of it, and my son came and got me. But the thing that's miraculous is that it was going to be, according to the tow truck driver I spoke, you know, got to come out. He said, you won't be able to get this out for days. Your car's stuck here. It has to be drying. So in my mind, I thought, nope, I'm going to have a miracle here. And I prayed that someone would materialize and help my son and his friend to somehow get it out. And they were trying for an hour or more, and this person appeared in a tow truck and said, very kind of grouchy, said, oh, do you need help here? You know, nobody you'd pay any attention to, and he managed to get my car out. So it was such a clear example of manifestation.
Good for you. Thank you for sharing the provision. Johnny wanted to share something. I want to make sure I catch Johnny. Where is he? Johnny. Wait for the mic, Johnny. Please.
This is basically for the people that have been here less than 5 years, because this happened 5 years ago. I was hit by a car in a crosswalk, but I didn't find out for 5.5 weeks I had a broke leg. I walked around on a broke leg till it healed. Is that faith?
Thank you, Johnny. Elizabeth, right in front of you, Johnny.
Miracles are a habit, is one of them, and miracles occur naturally. When I first came here, I was learning how to watch my mind, and when I realized thoughts are things, I could see that my being was attracting my life, and the miracle was that I worked out most things while working out, and now whenever I get into a body of water, I immediately start saying a prayer that Tim and Barbara gave me, and that is, I am spirit, perfect, holy, harmonious. I can't be hurt, sick, or afraid. For God, the rest of it, God is spirit. Manifest that in this body now. So without thinking about it after all this time, whenever I go to work out, that has become a habit, and that's a miracle.
Amen. Thank you, Elizabeth. Beautiful. Anyone else? Max in the back.
I was reflecting on the reading this morning and the miracle that came in sequences with the foot and the ankle and above, and I just thought about the miracle of the work, which in the Gurdjieff-Ouspensky world, oversimplified perhaps, is really expanding the context of life and uncovering the shadow. And I just think that the anxiousness that sometimes I experience of wanting more of it faster comes through in another lyric of there's no wasted time. But there's no wasted time as long as we're seeking the path with humility.
Thank you, Max. Anyone else wish to share? Yes. I would take the mic if you don't mind. Yeah. And help us all with your name.
I'm Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Can you hear me? This is just a little fun one. So, I was with my son in Iceland, and it was before it got more popular. So we were just in the middle of nowhere all the time without people around us. And the earth there just sparkles with energy. And the people that live there are really connected to the plants and the earth. And they talk about the sprites and the little spiritual plant creatures that take care and are inherently a part of the earth. So it was a very, very magical place. And along our journey, he found a ring, and he was probably 10. And it was just a treasure in this magical place to find this beautiful ring, and he loved it. We ended up at this place called Jökulsárlón, which is a lagoon with icebergs in it. It's, you talk about beauty and prayer, it's just magical. And so he was throwing rocks, and he threw his ring into the lagoon. And the water was beautifully clear, but there were pebbles and rocks and rocks and rocks. And I was away from him, and he was down at the water, and he ran up. He said, my ring's gone. And I said, Jövkai, I said, we can find it. Where were you? I don't know where I was. And I said, let's just pray. And so together we earnestly prayed. And we walked down to the water, and we found that ring. And I felt it was at a time when he was really questioning God, and he still does. But it was meant so much to me. It was such a gift of the power of the Spirit, the power of prayer in the middle of beauty. And it was a material thing, but it was a magical thing, and it was a miracle, and it was very timely, and it was wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. There are endless stories in the room. But let's conclude by just doing two things. The first, if you can just close your eyes and go inward, and let us hold in our hearts everyone who needs a miracle, who hasn't received the miracle they're wanting for themselves or someone they love. Let's just feel into that reality, that there's so many who are in need of a miracle. We call upon the energy of the Holy Spirit to bring miracles to all these we have held in our hearts. And secondly, in the silence, make a request, if you wish, that you would be more open to being a vessel of miracles flowing through you to others. We ask for the patience to wait for the miracles our hearts desire, our bodies need, our world is desperate for. We ask for courage to speak forth and to think in new ways that will co-create miracles in our lives and our relationships and on this planet. We thank you for the gift and grace of miracles, and we wish to be miracle-minded and miracle workers, humble servants of love. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for your presence and your interest. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
Abba, Father.
Amen. This is the time in our service where we celebrate the miracle of this church and the gift of your faithfulness to it through your tithing and giving as a manifestation of God's love for each of us in this community. We take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hands and let us remember the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's remember this affirmation together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. We dedicate these tithes, gifts, and offerings of love to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on this planet over the lies of separation and our useless acting out from fear. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Everywhere, the
but the whole of all that is in one's pure soul. Through Christ the truth I now behold, the fellowship of all unfold. One thinks this loving thought and feels the beauty Christ the truth reveals. The beauty Christ, the truth
And now, let us rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives. Please join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Perhaps the Eucharist is a miracle, not because the bread and the wine is changed, but because it changes us. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear an answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Spirit, prepare a table for me with sacred bread and wine. Spirit, prepare a table for me, offering the Spirit, prepare a table for me with sacred bread and wine. Spirit, prepare a table for me, offering a
to Thank you.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Creator, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude worship with song.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to sing, and grace my fears relieved. How precious in that grace appeared the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and freedom that will last. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see.
I thank you for your presence here today. It's been a miracle to be together, and may we be open to the miracles flowing into our lives today and through the week until we meet again. Amen. Amen.